Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest, not so mad science, on Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. Today is February 13th. 2018. It is Black History Month, if such a thing can be said to be limited to one month. Tonight's discussion, we will be talking about Black History Month, its history, what it is, why it is, what is Black History. And we're going to look at it from the perspective that others say Black History Month is, and not what we know it to be. How do other people see us? How do they describe our history? So to that end, in 3 minutes and 21 seconds, we'll be right back to talk about Black History Month. Welcome back, welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. And we're talking about, well, before we do that, let me give you the call-in number to any of our listening guests. That number is 563-999-3. Call-in number is 563-999-3089. To our older listening audience who've been listeners of Not So Mad Science over the years, remains 323-927-2913. Once again, that number is 323-927-2913. And we're asking the question, what is Black history? Well, and we're looking at it according to the perspective of how others describe Black history or what they tell us Black history is. Well, according to history.com, or rather I should say the History Channel, Black History Month is an annual celebration of achievements by African Americans and a time for recognizing the central role of blacks in U.S. history. The event grew out of Negro History Week, the brainchild of noted historian Carter G. Woodson and other prominent African Americans. Since 1970, every U.S. president has officially designated the month of February as Black History Month. Other countries around the world, including Canada and the United Kingdom, also devote a month to celebrating Black history. Again, this is according to history.com. As they view the origins of Black History Month. The story of Black History Month begins in 1915, a half century after the 13th Amendment supposedly abolished slavery in the United States. That September, the Harvard trained historian Carter G. Woodson and the prominent minister Jesse E. Moreland founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, ANSLA, an organization in achievements by Black Americans and other people of African descent. Known today as the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, ANSLA, the group sponsored a National Negro History Week in 1926, choosing the second week of February to coincide with the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. The event inspired schools and why to organize local celebrations, establish history clubs and history performances and lectures. Take note, the NAACP was founded on February 12, 1909, the centennial anniversary of the birth of Abraham Lincoln. In the decades that followed, mayors across the country began issuing yearly proclamations recognizing Negro History Week. It was by the late 1960s, thanks in part to the Civil Rights Movement and a growing awareness of Black identity, Negro History Week had evolved into Black History Month on many college campuses. It was then President Gerald Ford who officially recognized Black History Month in 1976, calling upon the public to the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. Black History Month, the 1976, every American president has designated February as Black History Month and endorsed a specified theme. Black History Month 2018 theme, African Americans in Times of War, marks the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I and honors the role that Black Americans have played in warfare from the American Revolution to present day. This is how the History Channel views Black History Month. Is that an accurate description? We shall see. All too often, in my opinion, we view this thing called Black History Month the way we view most other holidays of the established common order. Are we really taking into account the historical significance of the Black man and woman here in North America? What are our achievements here? What did we do to facilitate the growth of these states? And can that history be told, shared, understood, and grown upon in the 28 days of February? Let's take a look at the commentary of Biography. Biography describes Black history in this manner. They say February marks Black history tribute to African American men and women who have made significant contributions to America in fields of science, politics, law, sports, the arts, entertainment, while Black History Month is synonymous with prominent figures such as Martin Luther King Jr., Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, Muhammad Ali, Jackie Robinson, Maya Angelou, and President Barack Obama. There are countless other African American history. Self-made millionaire, Madam C.J. Walker. World-renowned sculptor, Monia Lewis. Carbon filament light bulb inventor, Lewis Howard Latimer. Daniel Hale Williams. Science fiction writer Octavia E. Butler, Carter G. Woodson, who lobbied extensively to establish Black History Month as a celebration, among many others. explore biographies, videos, and articles that celebrate their historic achievements. As part of this process of discovery of Black History Month, biography.com offers these names: Carter G. Woodson, Rosa Parks, Madam C.J. Walker, noted author, novelist, playwright, Langston Hughes, the great Ida B. Wells, civil rights pioneer, Dr. Mae Jemison, NASA astronaut, these are so many names. They offer, as our history and culture, the love story of Richard and Mildred. Why is the love story of Love Conquers All between Richard and Mildred Loving so important? Well, Richard Loving is a Caucasian male. Mildred Loving is a Black female. But why is their relationship important to Black History Month? Other noted figures of history and culture relegated is the ever-present Frederick Douglass. And offered the name of Harriet Tubman and her true strength, courage. We're offered the name of abolitionist Mother Sojourner Truth. We are offered the name of Marian Anderson, the voice that broke the color barrier. Zora Neale Hurston, novelist. We are offered the greatness of former President Barack Obama, the strength of his wife, Michelle Obama, the power and the majesty of the boxing styles of Joe, Fannie Lou Hamer, mathematician Mary Jackson, biographer Alex Haley, the oratorical genius of Paul Robeson, mathematician Dorothy Johnson Vaughan, a name that many would not recognize had it not been for the movie that brought her name forward as the mathematician on the Scout launch vehicle program that put the first satellites into space. No one knew who she was. We're offered the name always of Garrett Morgan, Olympian Jackie Joyner Kersee, the Queen of Soul Aretha Franklin, poet laureate, educator, and founder of Third World Press, Hakeem Mahmouti, civil rights activist Diane Nash, actress Hattie McDaniel, law professor and noted public figure because of her relationship with Supreme Court Justice Clarence. We are now being offered Serena Williams. Really? Is this Black history? Is this the achievement of Black history? Or does Black history extend further, farther, deeper? Is it more part of the material substance of the United States of America? Continue. That is the viewpoint of biography. But what does Wikipedia say about Black history and Black History Month? Black History Month, also known as African American History Month, a term that I've never heard anyone use in the U.S., is an annual observation in Canada, the United Kingdom, the United States, and since 2016, where it is known as Black Achievement Month. It began as a way of, or way for, remembering important people and events in the history of the African diaspora. It's celebrated annually in the United States and Canada in February, as well as in the United Kingdom and the Netherlands. Yet in the Netherlands, it's celebrated in October. They give at the history of Black History Month the beginnings of Negro History Week, known to be the precursor of Black History Month, which was created in 1926 in the United States when historian Carter G. Woodson and the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. As we stated before, this week was chosen because it coincided with Abraham Lincoln on February 12th and Frederick Douglass on February 14th, both of which Black communities had celebrated together since the late 19th century. Oh, really? From the event's initial phase, primary emphasis was placed on encouraging the coordinating teachings of the history of American Blacks in the nation's public schools. The first Negro History Week was met with lukewarm, gaining the cooperation of the Department of Education of the United States of the states of North, Delaware, and West Virginia, as well as the city school administration of Baltimore and Washington, D.C. Despite this far from universal acceptance, the event was regarded by Woodson as one of the most important or fortunate steps ever taken by the association, and planned for a repeat of the event on an annual continued pace. At the time of Negro History Week's launch, Woodson continued that teaching of Black history was essential to ensure the physical and intellectual survival of the race within broader society. Okay. Woodson says, and I quote, "If a race has no history, it has no worthwhile tradition. It becomes a negligible factor in the thoughts of the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated. The American Indian left no continuous record. He did not appreciate the value of tradition. And where is he today?" We're going to take a side step away, because Carter G. Woodson was in fact wrong. There has been and always will be a continuous record. The Indian did appreciate the value of tradition. And where is he today? He's still in the concentration camps called reservations that were set aside to place their people on. Abundant with alcohol so that their minds are numb, so that they can no longer remember the history. And those that can share that history are unable to teach it to anyone that it can be passed on to. The Hebrew keenly appreciated the value of tradition, getting back to Carter E. Woodson's words, as is attested by the Bible itself. In spite of worldwide persecution, therefore, civilization. Again, remember, Mr. Woodson, without devaluing his importance or the works that he did, again, is incorrect. The Bible is not a testament to the appreciated value of tradition of the Hebrew. Not as he knew it or understood it then, certainly not as we see it and understand it now. And it is worldwide persecution that black history is limited by the contemporary society to 1 month. Again, back to the words of Wikipedia. By 1929, the Journal of Negro History, able to note that with only two exceptions, officials with the State Department of Education of every state with considerable Negro populations had made the event known to the state's preachers, teachers, and distributed official literature associated with the event. Churches also played a significant role in the distribution of literature in association with Negro History Week during their initial interval, with the mainstream and black press aiding in the publicity effort. But I want you to take note to the language used here. Officials with the State Department of Education of every state with considerable Negro population had made the event known to that state's teachers, and they distributed the official literature associated with the event. Not the official literature of black people in America. They told you what they wanted you to know, not share with you the truth. Again, this is not to take away from the work effort of Carter G. Woodson, but to give clarity to the works of Christ. Clarity. And clarity is necessary. Negro History Week was met with enthusiastic response. It prompted the creation of black history clubs, an increase in interest among teachers, and interest from progressive whites. Negro History Week grew in popularity throughout the following decades, with mayors across the United States endorsing it as a holiday. On February 21st, 2016, 106-year-old Washington, D.C. resident and school volunteer, Lauren, visited the White House as part of Black History Month. When asked by the president why she was there, McLaurin said, "A black president, a black wife, and I'm here for Black history. That's what I'm here for." But what was Black History Month in the United States in 1970? Black History Month was first proposed by black educators and the black United students at Kent State University. Yes, Kent State University, the location and the site of the Kent State University massacre. It was in 1969 that the black United students, with the support and backing of the black educators, the first celebration of Black History Month took place at Kent State 1 year later. From February 1st, 1970 to February 28th, 1970. 6 years later, Black History Month was being celebrated all across the country in educational institutions. Centers of Black culture and community centers, both great and small, when then sitting President Gerald Ford recognized Black History Month during the celebration of the United States Bicentennial. He urged Americans to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishment of black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. Well, what are the endeavors of our history here in the United States that it was marked as a turning point for Black History Month in 19th State Bicentennial? There are some historians who would say that the United States became what it is today because of the work of the black slaves, the African Americans who built this country for their enslavers, their white slave masters. Question needs to be asked, can we call ourselves African Americans today, or should we call ourselves black people today? Because the only true African Americans are the black slaves that were initially brought across the seas, culminating, or rather I should say, beginning in 1555. Designated in the history book by those hidden 64 years when slavery was not spoken of, because if you add 64 to 1555, you get the year that they say slavery began here in the United States, when in fact the truth is it began 15 years earlier in the Americas, in the Caribbean. It was in 1987, Black History Month was first celebrated in the United Kingdom. It was organized through the leadership of a Ghanaian analyst, Akiyaba Adesebo, who served as a coordinator of special projects for the Greater London Council. and created a collaboration to get it underway. It was first celebrated in London. It was not until 1995, after a motion by Canadian politician Jean Augustin, who was representing the riding of Etobicoke Lakeshore, Bill Canada's House of Commons, that they officially recognized February as Black History Month and honored Black Canadians. In 2008, was Canadian Senator Donald Oliver who made the motion to have it moved to have the Senate officially recognize Black History Month, which was unanimously approved. Once again, according to Wikipedia, was there criticism? Yes. Wikipedia says Black History Month often sparks an annual debate about the continued usefulness and fairness of a designated month dedicated to the history of one race. Criticisms include questions over whether it is appropriate to confine the celebration of Black History to one month, as opposed to the integration of Black History the rest of the year. Another criticism is that contrary to the original inspiration for Black History Month, which was a desire to redress the manner in which American schools failed to represent Black historical figures as anything other than slaves or colonial subjects, Black History Month reduces complex historical figures to overly simplified objects of hero worship. Another criticism is that the celebration is racist in practice and ideal. Black celebrities such as actor and director Morgan Freeman and actress Stacey Dash have criticized Black History Month, with Freeman saying, "I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history." End quote. Freeman has argued that there is no White History Month because white people did not want their history relegated to just 1 month. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We're asking the question, what is Black history? And can it be relegated to that end? We're going to have a song by Candy Staten called "I'm a Victim," and I think it's appropriate. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Since we are experiencing some minor technical issues. But this is not to be expected when we consider the magnitude of the subject matter being discussed. These things always seem to happen. So who are these people that take stock in our black history? Who are these people who look to track to ensure that we are not forgotten? The names of some of these historians, and do we agree with some of the things that they found? Well, let's take a looky. Oftentimes, right when you really, really, really want to do something, things get a little bit difficult to make happen. So, to that end, here we go. Who are some of the black historians that we need to research? We have W.E.B. Bois, 1868 to 1963. Carter G. Woodson, 1875 to 1950. John Hope Franklin, 1915 to 2. Henry Louis Gates Jr. Dr. John Henrik Clark, 1915 to 1998. Joel Augustus Rogers, J.A. Rogers, 1880 to 1966. Rayford Logan, 1897 to 1982. William Cooper Neal, 1816 to 1874. George Washington, 1849 to 1891. Dr. Mary Frances Berry. Nathan Huggins, 1927 to 1989. John Wesley Blassingame, 1940 to 2000. Charles H. Wesley, 1891 to 1987. Arturo Alfonso Schomburg, father of the Schomburg Museum in New York, 1874 to 1938. Anna J. Cooper, 1858 to 1964. William Wells Brown, 1814 to 1884. David Levering Lewis and Avrajani. Many, many others whose names I did not mention. Doctor, brother, Wesley Muhammad. Who are these people and why should we take stock in what they say? You have historians right in your own home. Your mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts and uncles, older brothers, older sisters, all historians who have seen, recorded, and experienced things before you got here. So how do we determine black history when we look at notable events? Are we limited by the notable events? And is that history? Quite frankly, far too often, the history that we need to know and understand is not the notable event that all can agree upon, because it's in the newspaper, on the news station, on TV. That's something they want you to know. The history we need to know is what we're not told. Who tells you that history? Did they tell you that history? Have on the wall in the saintly glow and flesh not your own. Did they teach you that he is your Lord, your Savior, your Christ? Not all things given as history are true, and how do you determine truth? Do some work yourself. Everything written in a book does not mean it's true. But everything written in a book is something that you can research and delve into to find the truth yourself. And given the choices, when you come across a man or woman whom every time they've opened their mouth to you to teach you something has always told you, authenticate and certify, then maybe, just maybe, you ought to listen to that person. Because they did what? They told you the truth. But our history, dear brothers and sisters, cannot be limited to the earliest days of the African presence in the United States. That's what we're given. And even then, we're not told about the true story of what has been written down that we are not allowed to see unless we go find it ourselves, because they don't teach it to you in school. We have served and died in defense of an adopted homeland, not by choice, mind you. As individuals and as a body of people that make up the black diaspora here in America, we have offered up by force, and we have offered up by choice of machinations and manipulations our talents, our spirit, and our lives for the prosperity of this place called America. We are told about Benjamin Banneker, astronomer, clockmaker, and publisher. But we are not often told that he was more than just a mathematician of types. He was able to make calculations to predict solar and lunar eclipses and to compile amphoresis for the Benjamin Banneker Almanac, which was the most accurate almanac of its time. Yet no one taught him math. He taught it to himself. Do they tell you? Yes, we're told the name of Jean-Baptiste Pont du Sable, who was the first resident of the city of Chicago. He owned that land. Du Sable built his first house in the 1770s. 30 years before Fort Dearborn was established on the banks of the Chicago River. He was already there. But because of force of might, not what was right, but might, the soldiers took his land. Poet Phyllis Wheatley, one of the first black poets whose works were published, also had a great body of her poetry stolen and submitted under the names of religious leader, the Reverend Richard Allen, who in 1816 founded the African Methodist Episcopal Church in Philadelphia, who also had a black Jesus in his home. Religious leader Peter Spencer, a nation in the United States, or the AUMP Church. Also a slave revolutionary. Sojourner Truth, abolitionist, who was also free, a noted speaker for the abolitionist movement and the women's rights movement. But what they don't tell you is women's suffrage began in her home as they came to seek they tell you the name of Nat Turner. They call him a rebellion leader who in 1831 led what is called a failed slave rebellion in Southampton County, Virginia. The most remarkable instance, supposedly, of black resistance to enslavement. It wasn't a failed slave rebellion. They were successful. They fought back, and that is the achievement. But they don't tell you that they were able to be defeated in their fight. Not in the success of fighting back, but in their fight. By those blacks who were wanted to remain enslaved by their white slave masters. We have a bunch of them today. Think Django. Is we sick? Norbert Rilio, a name most black children would never comprehend or understand, nor do their parents know. We know the names of black inventors that we are told about. But you have to really dig deep into the pockets to find the name of Norbert Aurelio, inventor and engineer in 1806 to 1894. He was the inventor of the multiple effect evaporator, an energy efficient means of evaporating water, the essential component for the evaporator in your air conditioner. Uh-oh. You want to be cool? Check out Norbert Aurelio. Martin Delaney, black abolitionist. The first African-American field officer in the United States Army. What did he suffer to make a way for himself in a land that did not want him? The more familiar names of Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman. Why are we only told of the more familiar names? It was because of the pragmatic effect and the conscience-wrenching oratory skill. Was he just an abolitionist, editor, author, statesman, reformer? A man who lifted himself up from his boots by his own bootstraps in slavery and taught himself to read? Sage of Anacostia, among the most prominent and influential black lecturers and authors in U.S. history, him you could call an African American. Because he was a slave, a true American. He became a black man when he took account and stock for himself and used his natural oratory gifts to bring light to a hateful crime of slavery. Was Harriet Tubman merely a writer and an abolitionist as she is described in US and USHistory.com? She is called as an abolitionist. She acted as an intelligence gatherer, refugee organizer, raid leader, nurse, revival speaker, and a fundraiser. Really? She was a warrior. Kill or be killed. She freed 1,000 slaves. She could have freed 1,000 more if they only realized that they were slaves and weren't cowards. Those who came and tried to turn back, she killed them on the spot, including her own husband. Why? She was a forerunner for the Winnie Mandela of her time. For freedom, you must be willing to die and kill. Frances Harper, poet, novelist, lecturer, activist. Was she merely a supporter of the prohibition and the women's suffrage, or was she a leader that whose light was never, never, never reported on, nor given credit to in her time? Harriet Wilson, novelist, thought to be the first black woman or black person of either gender to publish a novel on the North American continent. What were the hurdles she overcame to get that book out? William H. Kearny, Civil War hero. Sergeant Kearny was the first black man to be awarded the Medal of Honor. Well, whose war was he fighting? Was it truly for the freedom of black people, or was it an economic war of brother against brother, of which we were cannon fodder and a tool by which one brother made more money than the other? Elijah McCoy, credited as being an inventor, who invented the automatic lubricating or oiling for steam engines or locomotives and boats. Did he benefit from the prosperity that his invention brought to those who owned boats and steam engines? He died poor, so I think not. George Washington Buckner, physician and diplomat, a black American to serve as diplomatic minister to a foreign country. But they make sure you never find out what country he would be diplomatic minister to. George Washington Johnson, considered to be a pioneer recording artist, famous for whistling and singing the song The Whistling Coon and The Laughing Coon. Coon, another word for nigger today. Booker T. Washington, political leader, educator, author, and one of the most greatly misunderstood black men of American history. Yet, we are limited to his understanding to improve the leadership, or rather I should say the friendships and working relationships between races. Unfortunate ideals. And the greatest horticulturist, botanist of the modern era, Mr. George Washington Carver. He's called a plant scientist, but he's so much more. If they can have a dog whisperer today, then we can have an environmental whisperer with George Washington Carver, who was able to distill the essence of the life germ of the peanut and pull forward hundreds of uses for the peanut, never before known and understood until he brought it available. But what did he have to suffer for his science? Humiliation and castration. Madam C.J. Walker, she is limited to the viewpoint of being the first woman millionaire. But she represents so much more. She was also known as Sarah Breedlove, who founded the Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company to sell hair care products and cosmetics. Yeah, you'll do your Mary Kay today, but it was Madam C.J. whose business acumen to provide proper hair care products to her people and its distribution that makes her this genius and the wonder that she is. Scott Joplin, they call him a ragtime composer, but he was able to conceptualize and master a genre of music that not only set a standard for that music, but set a standard for the listening ear to hear hid sounds and intricacies that were never known before. James W. Johnson, author, poet, folklorist, civil rights leader. He's called a prominent figure in the Harlem Renaissance, whose works included the autobiography of an ex-colored man. Civil rights leader? No. He was an activist for the upliftment and the educational, social, and cultural pursuits of his people. Mr. Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Was he just a poet? Yeah, you recognized him in 1896 for Lyrics of a Lowly Life. But he was a social and cultural activist. Mr. W.C. Handy. Was he merely a blues composer? He's more than just the father of the blues. He was able to reach into the soul of the misery of his people and pull out the rhythm and give that rhythm a life that we could then find peace of mind in the expression of our sadness that you call the blues. Benjamin O. Davis, Sr., Army General, the first black man to wear the stars on his shoulders in the U.S. Army. One can only begin to wonder and ask why. A much disrespected man amongst his peers on the general staff in the U.S. Army. But he fought for his right to wear those bars and to speak truth to that. Jack Johnson, pugilist, known to be the first boxing champion of the world. He opened the door to the expression of the superiority of black power. George Harriman, cartoonist, best known for his comic strip Crazy Cat, for children of the 60s who grew up watching Crazy Cat did not know that the founder of that cartoon was a black man. My, what secrets are kept hidden. Mr. U.B. Blake, composer and musician. Shuffle Along with Noble Sissle in 1921 was the first Broadway musical ever to be written and directed by a black man. Mr. U.B. Blake. Mr. Arthur W. Mitchell, politician, the first black congressman from the Democratic Party, but not the greatest black politician. He was still yet to come. Mamie Smith, vaudeville singer, dancer, pianist, actress, blues singer, the first black woman to make vocal blues recordings in the 1920s. Yeah, you got the B today, but we had Mamie Smith yesterday to open the way for you. The Honorable, the Great Honorable, the Venerable and Revered, Marcus Mosiah Garvey. To limit his description to being a publisher, a journalist, and an entrepreneur is a travesty of black historical justice. He's not just remembered to being a champion of the Back to Africa movement. He represents more than that to you and I. Of all those mentioned before, he stands in a place of honor above the rest. Publisher, journalist, and entrepreneur. No. A warrior, a standard bearer for the black man and woman. Bessie Coleman. Yes. Pilot. The first black licensed pilot in the world. Yeah, you got yours. We got ours too. Bessie Coleman. While you go looking for Amelia, we knew where Bessie was at. What she could do. Airmen owe her a great debt in gratitude. The Venerable Ethel Waters, blues and gospel vocalist. She opened the door and made way for singers to come later on as she showed the magic and the ability to master any style of music placed in front of her. Yeah, she's in the Gospel Hall of Fame. In the R&B, and she can be in the Opera Hall of Fame as well. Mr. Oscar Charleston, baseball extraordinaire. Yeah, they would not allow the black ball players in what is called the Negro Leagues to compete amongst and compete with the white baseball players of their day. He is believed to be the best all-around baseball player the Negro Leagues ever produced. And a true diva extraordinaire. Boy, they use that term diva so loosely these days. But a true diva. In both stature, talent, and dignity. Ms. Marian Anderson, a contra alto, best remembered for her performance on Easter Sunday in 1939 in Washington, D.C. And the Duke, Duke Ellington. Jazz composer, musician, band leader, who gained the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1969 and the Legion of Honor by France in 1973. He's more than just a piece of music called the A-Train. Mr. Oliver Law. Communist labor organizer, social activist, relegated to the Abraham Lincoln Brigade in the Spanish. And that was just the 1800s. If we look into the 1900s, I'm just going to run in names without giving an explanation, but these are people that we should know. Louis Armstrong, Satchmo, Langston Hughes, Cool Papa Bell, and the Count, Mr. Ralph Bunch, the unfortunate one. The Wizard, Satchel Paige. Buck Leonard of the Negro Leagues. Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. The True Black Hammer, Mr. Josh Gibson. Babe Ruth, take a seat. And the Right to Fight to Flight, Jesse Owens. Ms. Rosa Parks, Emmett Ashford, Balls and Stripes, the first black man to umpire a Major League Baseball game. Bill Waters, and the Jewel of Jazz. Is Ella Fitzgerald. Edward Brooke III, black man elected to the U.S. Senate. Jackie Robinson. And the Goose Tatum. James Baldwin. The Honorable Shirley Chisholm, first black woman elected to political office in Congress. The Root Tainer, Mr. Sammy Davis Jr. Medgar Evers, Trailblazer. A student of the Venerable, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Mr. Malcolm X. Mr. I'd walk a mile for Miles Davis. Queen of the Courts, long before there was Serena Williams, Venus Williams, there was Her Highness Althea Gibson. A true soldier for love, Miss Coretta Scott King, Queen of the Pen, Maya Angelou, the true of the rocker, Italy, a man described by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a true American hero, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Mr. Can You See Me Now? Ray Charles. Hey Kid himself, Willie Mays. Writer Toni Morrison. And the Jesus in our present. Mr. Big Bank Hank, father of the home run, Mr. Hank Aaron. And bring it down to the ground, the true king of rebounds, Mr. Bill Russell. Black Panther, Eldridge Cleaver. Hall of Famer, Bob Gibson. And the crown prince of basketball, the heir to the greatness of Meadowlark Lenny. Take it to the bank, Frank Robinson. Mr. Give Me the Ball, Jim Brown. Take it to the tip because it's going to be a big dip. Wilt Chamberlain. And then you got those who say that he doesn't belong this day more than an entertainer, an actor, comic, but truly an educator. His works cannot be denied, Mr. Bill Cosby. A soldier to the end, even when truth is denied, Colin Powell. He saw the light, politician Ron Brown. Quick with the lip and able to run a limerick, Jesse Jackson. Dr. Maulana Karenga, the father of Kwanzaa. And greatest, Muhammad Ali. I find it interesting that the students of the greatest black man to ever walk in America, you have Muhammad Ali. You have Malcolm X, and you mentioned Louis Farrakhan, but you don't mention or list the one who made them who they are. Sergeant Baker, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam. We also have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Clarence Thomas, Stevie Wonder, Walter Payton, Condoleezza Rice, Jerry Rice, Johnson, Michael Jordan. And the list can go on and on and on of the sharp black figures, but is that our history? I'll share this with you as I have to bring this edition of Not So Mad Science to a close. In the coming weeks, we'll be blessed to have on the air noted recording artist, activist, social engineer, Mr. James M. Toomey. We will have Mr. Kevin Bujo Jones. And Kenny, the Human Orchestra Muhammad, where we will discuss the science, the history of the most prolific instrument, the first instrument after the human voice, the drum, its impact on our nature, its effect on our spirit, and how it delivers a message. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Saying once again, as we always say before we leave you this day, Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith.